everyone, this is Free Food for Thought, a student-run, student-focused podcast here to feed your curiosity. I'm Emma, and today I'm joined by David Toczynski, a filmmaker and professor of radio, television, and film at Northwestern University. He co-founded and directed Northwestern's MFA in Writing for Screen Plus Stage program, was chair of RTVF for 11 years, and recently co-founded and now directs the Pritzker Pucker Studio Lab for the promotion of mental health via cinematic arts at Northwestern. His work, which spans comedy and darker fare, often involves trauma, memory, and mental illness. His short, Cassandra, available on Altar, Apple, and Amazon, has won over 11 awards internationally and is currently being developed into a feature. David has written screenplays for various Hollywood studios and has written and directed plays performed in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. David has a CMC connection as well. His son is a 2020 grad. So without further ado, David, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
So I want to start with your upbringing. Who had the greatest influence on you as a child or as an adult?
Oh, many people, but you're probably referring to the fact that my father was a psychoanalyst, and he was actually a Yale professor of psychoanalysis, and my household was, he was a big movie buff, so we were always watching movies, and that was his main activity, and we were also talking about psychology, so starting this program on mental health depictions kind of makes sense and probably flows out of my childhood. So he was an influence, but you know, other people were influences. My mom was nice. I had siblings who are fantastic. So
awesome. So what were you like growing up? Like, what were your interests? You talked about film. Was that from like the very beginning or did you develop it?
I was a very shy child. And I think, again, maybe that's why I found my way to film and psychology. I'm interested in my own psychology and also the pain that some people feel. But I was always interested in film. I think from age 10 or 11, I was making Super 8 film, actual film films. And, you know, from like The Adventures of Superblat, that was me and my friend, like, you know, making superhero kind of films and then animations. And so it's always been a part of my life.
Wow, that sounds so interesting. So how did your career or job skills change over the years? Like, you went straight into film studies or did you do something else and took a detour?
In college, I was mostly a composer, interested in music. I grew up doing kind of rock bands in high school and thought I would be someone like Philip Glass or have some kind of rock band or both. But at the same time, I was also a film studies minor and was making films in college. And then after college, I didn't know really what I wanted to do. I applied to different graduate schools, one in computer graphics, one in computer music, and one USC film school. And I think I couldn't turn down the kind of lure of Hollywood. So I went there, but I went there thinking I would write music for my friends' films. And then, you know, when I got there, I started to make experimental films. I met my then girlfriend, who now is my spouse and a fellow professor at Northwestern, and we made a documentary together. So kind of developed that way. And then when I got out of school, my experimental film showed at Sundance, and I met Steven Soderbergh, who was a big fan, and he kind of encouraged me to start writing screenplays. And then I was working for various studios and, you know, writing screenplays. But I've always been interested in all kinds of things. And, you know, I've started to direct. I've just produced a film for Shudder. And it's actually Deborah, my spouse, who got me back into writing music that hadn't been part of my life until recently. And I'm writing music for her documentary called True Memories and Other Falsehoods, which looks at memory contamination and how that can lead to wrongful convictions, because some people even think that they have committed crimes they haven't committed if there's enough kind of things that the police might do that might make you think that you had done something in the blackout. So my career has expanded into all different places. I also write plays, as you mentioned, too. So it's all fun. But a lot of, you know, mental illness, mental health, and psychiatrists are always part of my stuff, probably because of my dad. So
you mentioned like the transition from music to film. Was that difficult? Was that challenging? Or does it go like along with each other?
For me, the art is about structuring experience, and it's also about finding unusual oppositions and combinations. So whether that's musical notes or whether that's characters, they're all interesting. Also, being the chair of Radio TV Film and now running a program, it's also me putting different people together in a room in an unexpected way. So my advisory board for the Pritzker-Pucker program has psychiatrists and anthropologists and filmmakers and playwrights. So all of this I find equally interesting. And also thinking about screenplays, I often think about musical structures when I'm thinking about screenwriting structures.
So you've been involved with a lot of different kinds of media, radio, film. What do you think is important when you approach these different types of media area? Or is there something more in common?
That's a really profound question. I'd say, first of all, finding your authentic self, asking yourself the why of what you're doing. Why am I making this screenplay or this piece of music? What is it I want to express? And also what drives me in terms of my own curiosity and passion? And then I think maybe the effect this will have on the world. Sometimes I'm writing horror films and I have to think, is this something that's going to help people process trauma, or am I adding to the darkness of the world? And then one of the things we teach in the Writing for Screen and Stage program is each form has a unique kind of, like, what is a play versus what's a film versus what's a TV show. Sometimes when you come up with an idea, it naturally kind of falls into a certain form. But we're also interested in how do you adapt an idea to different forms. So again, it's both unique and also we're interested in how something can transform and work in different ways. So my colleague has just done a podcast about, you know, his life growing up with a certain, you know, his family was part of a radical elements in the 70s, and then he's probably going to adapt that into, you know, a film or TV show. I've written screenplays that I've adapted to plays, and that's a really interesting process as well.
So working within the creative space, there's sometimes conflict between the business side of things and the creative side of things. How do you manage those kind of conflicts?
There's no conflict in the sense of we screenwriters love the business part because we're always trying to raise money. And, you know, for me, I guess the conflict is sometimes early in my career, I was taking jobs for money and just to get my foot in the door. These days, because I'm older, I'm thinking about what do I really want to do with my life and what kind of art do I want to make? And also the things I'm working on, is it possible for them to get produced and not just developed? So a lot of stuff in Hollywood gets developed but not made. So everything I'm working on now, the film you mentioned, Cassandra, I did a film for Shudder. I'm developing a screenplay into a feature. All of those is because I believe I can get those done. So there's only a conflict when you might be doing something for money that you might not believe in either ethically or, you know, or it's just a money-making thing. But for me, writing a screenplay goes hand in hand with business. And I actually teach my students, I'm teaching a class on pitching next quarter. How do you actually get your film, your screenplay, your idea, your pitch, how do you get that funded? How do you get it made? And for me, I think that goes hand in hand. So I'm interested in the conversation about the art of what you're doing, the why of what you're doing, but also the how. How am I going to get that done? And in our school, we're also constantly talking about who is your creative community? Who are your colleagues that you're going to bond together and help each other and move together through life? How, you know, you might become an agent, you'll be a writer, you might hire each other, or you just might offer support to one another. And I think that's really important. I love these questions, by the way.
Thank you. So within the creative space, there's also this element of storytelling is really important. What do you think makes someone a good at storytelling?
Oh, wow. That's great. You know, having a sense of your audience is one thing, being able to read a room, and then just having a sense of how do you convey the passion of what you're doing. You know, my pitching class is going to be all about, you don't tell a story to an executive as if you're trying to sell something. It's because you're so excited, you can't wait to talk about it, and because you're going to make this anyway. And then having a sense of what are the kind of twists and turns that if I met you in an elevator, you have 30 seconds to hear my story. Can I tell you that story? If you have 20 minutes, can I tell you that story? And if you have an hour, and being able to adjust yourself depending on the context and also the questions that you might ask, being excited by the questions and actually embracing those and thinking about it, I think that makes a good storyteller. But one never knows. So that's like off the top of my head.
So what you just mentioned, like that passion of like wanting to make it happen, sometimes can be also like rejected. So how do you deal with like rejections while pitching a film or like pitching a story?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, part of the artist's life and maybe part of life is rejection is part of the deal. And I think you have different techniques, you know. I always believe I'm going to get everything I apply for, and it keeps me going because I'm excited. My spouse, I think she's more suspicious, and she thinks she doesn't going to get things. So in her world, she's happily surprised all the time. Me, I'm disappointed, but I have all that period where I'm excited. The other thing I do is I don't just have one thing out there. I apply for I'm working on 5 different screenplays. I'm shooting emails and letters to many different people. So if I get one rejection, it doesn't hurt as bad because I got these 4 other things out there. But again, that's just a different technique. My spouse works on one film. She's very immersed in something, and she thinks that's kind of a waste of time working on too many projects. But again, she's a documentarian. I'm a screenwriter. Screenwriters were used to like having many different things going at it because you never know if someone's going to buy this story or this script or develop this thing. And I also think it's just fun to be thinking about different things at different times. For me, a great day is I teach my class at Pritzker Pucker and go deeply into mental health. I come home and work on music, and that's amazing. Then this morning I was drawing, what will my monsters look like in my new horror films? And that was fun. So I like to be working on lots of different things. But facing rejection is part of the game. And also, we've had many guests at Northwestern that have talked about the role of failure in their life and how out of failure either makes you rethink what you're doing, or they didn't do this, but they bought this other thing, and that kind of shifts your life. Or you think about what wasn't catching there, and that kind of turns you to a different project or process. And so many successful actors, writers will tell you it's moments like that that have been so critical for them in terms of deepening their practice and asking hard questions.
So tell us about some of the projects you're working on right now, which ones you're most passionate about.
I'm passionate about all of them, if you can't tell. I'm working on a short film that's an adaptation of Orpheus, but it's rethinking it in terms of changing the sexes. So I don't know if you remember that story, but someone is lost to the underworld and the lover goes into the underworld to go get that person, but then the deal is they can't look back while they're walking out of the underworld. And for me, I thought that was so interesting. Like, why that? And why looking back? What does that signify? And why do they look back? So I'm working on that. And that's really exciting and interesting. And it's dealing with kind of, again, police violence. And it's dealing with kind of relations between the different races and sexes. So I'm kind of thinking about it in terms of some of the contemporary issues that I feel like people are dealing with. And then I told you about True Memories and Other Falsehoods is my spouse's amazing film. You know, for me, sometimes I feel like some of my projects are just like my own weird mind and my own excitement. But I feel like her film could change the world, could prevent wrongful convictions. And so anything, I'm a co-producer on it, and I'm a composer, and anything I can do to help her get that done. I am developing the feature version of Cassandra. And then you talk about how screenwriting and business go together. The script is finished. It's great. It's cheap. And we're just looking for a little bit of equity to start us. So that's really where mine. So in one place, I'm drawing monsters and thinking about casting. I'm writing music over here. And then I'm thinking about business and who do I know with money or what studio. And again, and you may or may not know, the media landscape changes every day. When I did the film for Shudder, you know, they were just, there was money, the people were just, they couldn't get enough product. And then there was kind of shifting and, oh, we didn't make our certain mark. So then people were fired. And then there's been companies combining. So every day we're having to rethink what our strategies are for getting projects made. And of course, the Writers Guild may or may not go on strike about how streamers handle data in terms of screenwriting. So for me, this is all really fascinating and interesting. And I like having to like think about things and be nimble and change in terms of the market.
I really like all the topics of your projects and everything. So I'm kind of wondering, how do you pick like a topic? What inspired you to pick the topics and the projects that you are currently doing right now?
That's a great question. I can tell you Cassandra started out as a dream that I had, and the young Cassandra tells the therapist in the film about her dream. It actually was my dream, and it was an image I couldn't get out of my mind. It felt real, and for me, it was the process of like, what could this mean? What if a character had this? What's the psychology of it? I read a New Yorker article that was about the memory recovery period in the 90s, especially in Chicago, about these psychiatrists that they were thinking that they were recovering memories. And so I wondered, oh, what if I set a film in that period? And also all these psychiatrists were worried about going to prison or being arrested because they were saying this was being made up. But I wondered, what if one of these psychiatrists actually felt they had discovered something in their session, but then they were afraid to say it because then they were afraid of kind of legal action. So that's how that one started. But so it could be an image. It could be a social problem or issue that you're interested in. And in Orpheus, you know, how do I re-see that old, very old story in a new way? How am I thinking about it in terms of contemporary issues? So it's just, you know, they all, and sometimes I come up with a character like, oh, that's an interesting person or a disturbing person. It could be. So any kind of different ways that could happen, I've experienced them. So I could tell you the history of all my projects and how those all came, but you can see image, character, social issue, any of those.
That is so intriguing. Regarding like Cassandra, it's like a short film, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you think about these short forms of like media, or like not just films, but like other media as well?
I think you've probably heard this, it's the golden age of shorts. It's so, for me, it might be harder to make a 12-minute film that works than a 2-hour film or TV series, because you have everything has to work and be in its place. You have to grab people. It has to have twists. It has to say something, all in a very short period. And also, and for me, it should resonate and keep you talking or thinking afterwards. And in the case of Cassandra, I hope there's enough there. They're like, what else is happening in this person's life? And that's, I feel, is a good vehicle for launching a feature, because you want to know more about the characters or the situations. But I think shorts are, and I can tell you my own experience as a teacher, many of my students, they write 10-page scripts in their first class, and many of them have launched their careers based on those 10 pages that they either get into festivals, or one of my students had that made into a film that was shown on HBO. So they're great forms. They get very difficult. Also, as a teacher, everything that we think about in features, it's all there in a short. So all of the concepts of screenwriting are contained within 10 minutes or 12 minutes. I show like Pixar cartoons, because 4-minute films, I can point to every single concept of screenwriting in those 4 minutes. And if you understand what's going on in those 4 minutes, you can write 2 hours. And I also think a feature is basically a series of short films lined up against one another, and also having interesting oppositions between the different short films.
So what advice would you give for aspiring filmmakers and screenwriters?
Follow your muse. Don't write things because you think that you should. Don't make a film because you think you should. Write the thing that you can't wait to see what it's going to look like or what's happening on the next page. For me, I think about screenplays as a series of closed doors. And as a writer, I keep trying to figure out what's behind the next door. And that keeps me going. So my own passion and my own curiosity, and also the belief that your film and your voice is important and that this thing will be impactful to somebody. It could be one person, could be a million people, but that you have to feel that it's worthwhile. So following your muse, and as we were speaking about before, don't write or make a film because you think you're going to sell it. Write it because it's for you, whether it be you, your learning or your expression, and be ready to be rejected. Also, this thing you're working on that you're so passionate, you could realize halfway through, oh, this isn't working, and be excited by that. Okay, that didn't work. I'll switch gears, or that's not working, but let me think about it. Maybe I could figure out a way to get it to work. And I want to tell this story about Cassandra. Everyone said, oh, this script works perfectly. We shot it. Oh, it was shot perfectly. We cut it all together. And it was a disaster. No one cared. No one understood the story. So we ended up having to cut a character out of the story. I had to rethink the film, come up with the voiceover that you hear in this. And it ended up taking me 2 years. So a little short, I spent a lot of time, but I'm really proud of it. And that's another thing to think about. Don't stop until you get to the best version of the screenplay or the film that you think it should be. So some people I know and some students, they get to a first draft, but they can't push further into where it should be. And also be careful of who you take feedback from. I will say that you listen to yourself, look for patterns of feedback, look for feedback that resonates with you. But ultimately, you have to have a conversation with yourself. Self, what makes sense to me? And that's the feedback that you take.
Finally, and the most important question of the entire interview, and I love asking filmmakers this, what's your favorite film or just some film, one of the films that's on your mind recently?
Sure. Well, I'm giving a talk on mental health and film and TV depictions, and my students and me, we all loved After Sun. So I wouldn't say that's my favorite film, but we just saw it and we also liked it because they never mention the mental health condition that they're investigating. We think it's depression, perhaps suicide, but it left us feeling, talking, and also the filmic techniques were so interesting and inspiring. I think it inspired us all to want to go make films. So recently, that's a film that meant a lot to me.
Wow, okay. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us today. And to our listeners, remember to stay hungry.